Join me now in prayer. So gracious God, this is a day of memories for us, a time of remembrance. We do so with thanksgiving. And we also pray for our hurting world today. So gracious God, in this message, may it bring healing and hope to all of us. What is it that you are saying to each of us, O Lord? How can each of us be ministers of your peace and grace? In your name we pray it. Amen. War is hell. War is hell. So spoke William Tecumseh Sherman. He was the general in the American Civil War. And he certainly saw the terror and the horror of war, because the Civil War took place on the very grounds of that great land, and he saw the suffering and the privation. War is hell, and Jesus has come as the Prince of Peace. And Jesus himself says that the way to peace so often is by sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down their life for their friends. Those are the words of Jesus. So we remember those who have laid down their lives, those who suffered greatly, not just the soldiers, but many other people. This morning I want to talk about three soldiers. My first soldier is Francis Pegamagabo. He fought in the First World War. Francis Pegamagabo, Indigenous. Now today, we celebrate Indigenous. But back in the First World War, the Indigenous people were certainly a forgotten people throughout the land. Nevertheless, when the First World War was declared, some 4,000 Indigenous people who did not have to go into the war, nevertheless enlisted, and they went and they fought bravely. And so was this man, Francis Pegamagabo. He lived in Parry Sound. And when he went on the battlefield, almost immediately, they recognized him as being an expert sniper, and he protected Canadian troops by sniping off the enemy. He also was a gifted runner. He could run 4 or 5 miles with messages, because in those times there was no method of rapid communication. And he also was a spy. Because of his Indian culture, at nighttime he was able to sneak behind enemy lines and find out exactly what the enemy were doing. As a matter of fact, one time he even mingled with some of the enemy soldiers. So great was his daring. This man was wounded once. Nevertheless, after convalescence, he immediately went back onto the battlefield. He was awarded the Military Medal with 2 bars. The Military Medal is the number 3 medal in the Canadian Order, Victoria Cross being first, the Military Medal, and he got it 3 times. So Francis Pegamagabo, a wonderful, courageous soldier. Nevertheless, when he came back to Canada, there was another war that he had to fight, a war against Canada itself. He wanted very much to have a farm, and he was denied a loan in order to purchase a farm. denied alone again and again, with the Indian agent standing in his way. Francis Pecamagabo went to the government, he went to Ottawa, he lobbied not only on behalf of himself, but also on behalf of other indigenous people who did not want welfare, they did not want dependence. They wanted to be self-sustaining. Francis Pecamagabo died disappointed. Disappointed, for this nation failed him. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down their life for their friends. My second wounded warrior is my own brother, Nick Fritz. He too eagerly joined in the Second World War. He joined underage, and because he was a gifted instructor, almost immediately he was sent to England, the Salisbury Plains, and there he instructed the Canadian troops as they came in preparation for battle. And of course, the invasion came with Normandy. My brother Nick was wounded. He went to the hospital, almost tragically wounded. Nevertheless, he recuperated and he participated in the liberation of Holland and then in the liberation of Germany. And because he stayed in the military all of his life, he helped in the rebuilding of Germany and so many other places under destruction. He helped in the displaced people who found a home here in Canada. My brother also participated in the Korean War. He married. He had a family of two beautiful girls. We didn't see very much of Nick because the military would take him to various places. But whenever we saw him, the family always said, "There's something wrong with Nick. We couldn't put our finger on it, but there was just something wrong." Well, 19 years ago, my brother died. His wife, Hilda, told us what it was. Yes, Nick was faithful in his work, but every time he came home to the family, he would have the dark demons of night come out to assault him. And so he had stress disorder, and he battled that. And the only way that he could assuage the pain that was within him was through alcohol. So as Hilda said, for 30 years, my brother was an alcoholic. And she said it was a living hell, not only for him, but for her and the family. Glad to say that the daughters are well balanced. But then Hilda said, one night, Nick went out of the house. He went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And that night, he came back never to drink again. Through her prayers and the prayers of others, he was healed. And as Hilda says, the last 15 years of their life were like heaven. Well, my brother Nick was also awarded the Military Medal, and he had a string of medals, some 13 in number, but I've often thought that it was Hilda who deserved every one of those medals. So great was her pain. But nevertheless, her faithfulness endured through all the pain. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down their life for their friends. My third person is a woman who I cannot name, a woman soldier. She participated in the Afghan War. And she was part of a body that went to secure an area after it had been cleared. And this woman relates to her chaplain that one day they went into a village and there was an abandoned school. They went into this bombed out building. The building had been severely damaged. But as they entered the building, there hanging from the rafters, hanging two little girls, perhaps 10 years of age, and pinned on their dresses their crime. I went to school. You see, in Afghanistan, the Taliban insists that if you're a woman, you do not go to school. So this woman, soldier, Canadian, seeing this, still suffers because she today is a mother. And she cannot get over what she saw. Greater love has no man, no person than this, that one should lay down their life for their friends. Friends, the last wounded warrior, I think you know about him. I want to read to you about him. Isaiah 53 speaks about him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. He was despised and rejected by people, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You see, Jesus too is the wounded warrior. The word of God, the word of peace, the word of love was made flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and peace and truth. But the truth is that the principalities and powers of the world rejected that word of peace and love and grace. And so Jesus suffered terribly. Jesus, for our sake, was crucified so that we might have peace in our time, so that we might be soldiers carrying the banner of peace. And remember the words of Jesus as a wounded warrior, as he suffered upon the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, forgiveness is a word of healing, and we are called to speak it in our homes, in our families, in our communities, at our business, at every turn. Jesus also said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and never let them be afraid. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down their life for their friends." Thanks be to God. Amen.